This evening, once again, the much-needed help of God. We direct your attention, friends, to that first book of Kings, chapter 19, and we shall read the last part of verse 7. The latter part of the seventh verse of 1 Kings, chapter 19, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. This great prophet, Elijah, one who is greatly favoured of God, greatly used of God, but friends, we see in Elijah what man is in his weakness, what man is without God's grace, what man is when he is left for a moment. And I believe the Lord, he leads his people in such a way as to show them their weakness, as to show them their sin, to show to them that if he withdraws his grace and his mercy from them and his love, every favour, every grace, then what are they but weak, poor, trembling, complaining, rebelling worms of the earth? He continues to show his people these things, to show them, look, without me you can do nothing. You are nothing. It is only by my grace, it is only as I speak to thee, as I give you grace and power, that you will carry on, that you will continue in the journey to the kingdom. And so, poor Elijah, he experiences the power of God's grace upon him. He knows what it is to be made strong. There he was on Mount Carmel. And he prays that the fire would come down and consume the sacrifice. One man amongst thousands, made strong. But then the Lord shows him his weakness. He comes to Samaria. Jezebel sends him the message. And he flees from this woman Jezebel. She makes him afraid. And so the Lord continues to show us our weakness, to bring us into those places where he will show us, look, this is you. This is what you are when left to yourself. You're weak. You're an unbeliever. You have no faith. Faith is a gift of God. And except I continually give you this grace, and you'll need it daily, you'll falter, you'll fail, you'll sink, you'll be brought to that place of despair. And so we might say that just as the children of Israel that were journeying in the wilderness, God had provided for them manna. And they must go out every day to collect the manna. They couldn't store it up. He bred worms and stank if they did so. And this is what God is teaching us. He's teaching us that which he was teaching the children of Israel that were journeying in the wilderness. They had to go out daily to seek the manna. And what it is he's showing you, you're going to have to daily seek him. You're going to have to seek him who is the bread of life, the eternal word. I am that bread of life, said Christ. That's what he is showing you. If you're a child of God, that's what he's showing you. If he's not showing you these things, then today you should be asking yourself the question, why is God not showing me these things? Why do I not feel the need of this bread, of this food, this spiritual food, this bread of life? It is because of this. You have other food that you're feeding upon. And the food that you're feeding upon is feeding your flesh. And that's where you are this morning. You are content to feed upon the things which are decaying, which are dying, which are carnal, which are sensual. You're feeding on those things. And you will despise the word of God. You will say today, this is light bread. We don't want this light bread. There's no food here in the word of God for me. Because you have food which is feeding your flesh, fattening the flesh. How solemn it is if you have to say this morning, and you know in your own heart this morning, every one of us here knows in their own heart this morning whether they need the word of God, whether they need to feed upon the eternal word. And be honest with yourselves. You either need Christ or you need him not. You either need to bring your case to him daily or you do not. And that shows where you are this morning. It shows to you this, that you're dead in trespasses and in sins. You're on the broad way to hell. And it doesn't concern you. It doesn't stir you up. It doesn't make you afraid. It doesn't make you fear. It doesn't make you tremble. It doesn't make you pray. You're unconcerned about the welfare of your soul or the destination of your soul. It doesn't matter, does it? And yet you're journeying. You're journeying to a place. God has said it. It is truth. You're journeying. Arise and eat. For the journey is too great for you. It is too great. And that is why you choose not to journey with the people of God. Because there is something that is more attractive. There is something easier. There is something that you can very easily slip into. Oh yes. We would say, it's like a third way. Yes, you may have all the form. You come into God's house. You sing the praises. You meet with the children of God. But you will not journey with them. Arise and eat. This is what the angel of the Lord said to Elijah. Elijah had come to that place, and the children of God come to that place. They come, as it were, to their wit's end, to the end of all things. They cannot go on. They cannot go another step. They're cast down. They're tormented. They're persecuted. They're tried. They're tempted. They walk in bereavement's pathway. They know what it is to suffer loss for Christ's sake. They know what it is to daily take up that cross and follow him. And the devil tempting them. You don't need to take up that cross today. You can lay that cross to one side today. It's a heavy thing. Why do you carry that cross? You don't need to carry it. That's what the devil says. And the child of God is tempted to lay the cross down or to squirm under it and try and get away from underneath it and to go some easy way. But the cross leads to the kingdom. And so poor Elijah, he comes under the juniper tree. Yes, friends, remember this. Despite all your fears, your troubles, your trials, your afflictions, whatever your pathway may be this morning, whatever you're walking in this morning, whether you've come to that juniper tree experience this morning, Elijah sat under the juniper tree. But listen, God's word declares this. Consider him. Consider who? Christ Jesus. Consider him. He didn't come under the juniper tree, friends. Consider Christ Jesus, who was nailed to the tree. He didn't just come to the juniper tree to sit under the tree and to complain how hard it was. He came to bear the sins of his people, to be nailed to the tree. To take away the curse of his people's sins. And so he would say to you today, and he would point to us today, that we may be sitting under that juniper tree, he would point us to Calvary, and he would say, look, sinner, look, poor sinner, look to the one who was nailed to the tree, look to the one that bore your sins, that bore all the curse and all the condemnation that was due to you. And he says, arise and eat. Yes, eat by faith, my flesh, my blood. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so we have this reminder. Yes, that we are journeying. We're journeying. We're all going to a destination. We're all heading to that destination. And if you knew today, if you knew, and if I knew today, when the day was, when the date was that we should reach that destination, we may have great cause today to tremble and to fear, because we do not know one day from the next. We do not know what's in our pathway. We do not know what's going to come into the pathway. But the devil, in all his subtlety, he would convince you that you have a long time. He would convince you that you have many years. You have many days to go on. Because he's a liar. He would have you believe the lies. He would have you take comfort and rest in his lies. And you would listen to him. Because you have a carnal nature which is wicked. And it is sold unto sin. What do you say this morning? Me? A wicked sinner? Me? With a carnal nature? A nature that hates God? That doesn't love him? That doesn't want to pray to him? That doesn't want to seek him? That doesn't want to eat his flesh and drink his blood by faith? Yes! How does it make you feel this morning? Do you say this morning, why do you come with this message? What do you think you're doing, coming with a message, and you're trying to upset us? You're trying to root us out. We're quite happy. We're quite content with what we've got, with what we know, with where we are, with what we're doing. Well, I hope and I pray that God will stir you up. That God will awaken you to see the danger that you are in. Because you have a soul that must live forever. Do you hear it? Does it make an impression in your heart this morning? You have a soul that must live forever. Forever, forever. What do you say? What do you say this morning? I don't need this God. I'm quite happy with just coming to chapel. Sitting here. Just hearing the odd service. I don't need to eat his flesh. I don't need to feed on this sacrifice. I don't need his blood. I don't need his righteousness. I don't need a covering. But you see, God speaks to us from His Word. Oh, you say you are rich. You're full. You have need of nothing. And this is the solemn judgment. You do not know that you are blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. That is solemn. That is what God is saying. That's not my words. That's God's word in Revelation. You do not know. That's what He says. That's solemnly the state that the majority are in. They do not know. Because if they did, rivers of water would run down from your eyes this morning. If you knew the wretched state that you were in, the solemn state that you were in. But you do not know. Oh, they have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. You have a heart, but you do not receive it, because the veil is upon your heart. It hides Christ. You do not realize, but every day of your life you're building. You're laying stone upon stone. You're building, but the wall that you're building is a partition wall. Those things that you're building, carnal things, like a partition wall. And the wall keeps growing higher and higher. And Christ is hid from your sight. But unless that wall of partition is brought down, unless the veil is removed, you will not love God. You'll have no desire to serve Him. It will be solemn, because in the last day, when you stand before God as the judge of all the earth, He will say to you, "You met with my people. You sang the same hymns as my people. You listened to the same prayers of my people." But you remained in the congregation of the dead. That's the reality of it. In the congregation of the dead. You see, you may look at me today, you may look down and you may say, "I don't like your preaching, and I don't like your message, and I don't like the way you put it over." But on that day, and that day will come, that day will come, you will stand before God, and God will say to you, "You heard the message, you heard the warnings, and you rejected me. You didn't reject the minister, you didn't reject the ministry, you rejected me, you rejected my word. The truth was proclaimed to you, and you rejected it. You had no appetite for the things of God. You knew what you needed, it was declared to you, but you would not ask. Because you had no appetite for the things of God." Solemn. These are the last days, friends, aren't they? The last days in which iniquity abounds. When the love of many waxes cold. Nobody desires these things anymore. The chapels are being emptied. People go this way and they go that way. They want something lighter. They don't want this light bread. But they want something that will make them happy, as it were. Gratify their flesh. And so they go their ways. Oh, we think of the prodigal. What did he want? He wanted the riches of this world. He wanted all those things which would satisfy his flesh. And he took his money. He took all his money. And he went his way. He left his father's house. He went his way. And he spent all his living. Riotous living. But there came the time when he was brought to realize this, these things cannot satisfy me. These things cannot satisfy my soul. They can't feed my soul. Have you a prodigal? Perhaps one in your family. Perhaps two in your family. Perhaps three in your family. Prodigals who desire not the knowledge of his ways, that have gone their way, and you can see them. There they are in the world, drinking in all those things which are gratifying to the flesh, satisfying the lusts of the flesh. But you see, it is right for us to pray for them. You see, they're not here today in God's house. But we are. How solemn it will be. It will be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment. That's what God said. Because they're not here to hear the message. They're prodigals. But the time came when the prodigal, he's fed up with the husks that the swine did eat. They can't satisfy him. They can't bring any peace, any comfort. There's no nourishment in them. He's brought to that place where he realizes these things can't satisfy me. And then his mind is cast back. Perhaps he goes back to the time when he was a little child. When he went into the house of God, perhaps, with his father. And suddenly, he realizes, there's bread enough to eat in my father's house. Oh, it's as though the commandment came where he was. Arise. Rise and eat. Go back to your father's house. There's food and nourishment for you in your father's house. Arise and eat. Because the journey is too great for him. And so he returns. And the Lord will bring the prodigals back. I believe this. There are those in God's house that come here week by week and they hear the message and they won't receive it. But the prodigals that are far off, they don't hear the message. They don't come here to hear the message. He'll bring them back. He'll bring them in. He'll bring them to want. He'll bring them to feel their need. He'll give them that appetite again. He'll bring them to see that the things of this world can't satisfy. They can't feed from them. They can't grow by indulging in the things of this world. They'll realize that these things bring death. They bring darkness. They make their case hopeless. And they realize that there's one thing which is needful. I need the Savior. I need the Redeemer. I need Christ. I need the Good Shepherd of the sheep. I shall return to my Father's house. I shall eat his flesh, I shall drink his blood by faith. I shall find there nourishment for my soul. I shall find there my Redeemer. I shall find this, that there's healing there in my Father's house. I shall find the good physician. For my soul needs healing. I need washing, I need clothing. I need the robe of his righteousness. He's brought me into one. He's brought me to that place where I truly feel that I need the living Saviour. The living Lord, he's done something in my soul. He's changed me. He's turned me around. He's converted me. He's turned me from darkness to light. Now I desire to follow him. Why? Because he is most precious. He's revealed himself to me as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He only can give me eternal life. Nothing else can give us eternal life. Yet this is what I want. Christian puts his fingers in his ears and he runs in the way to the straight gate, crying, eternal life, eternal life. How many are running? How many are following? How many are serving? How many have left their lusts? How many have been converted? How many have been changed? How many have to say today, give me Christ or else I die? How many of us truly have to say it? Because God comes by His Spirit and He searches us and He shows us, look, this is where you are today. A miserable, wretched, starving sinner that is not feeding upon the sacrifice. Satisfied with the form. In other words, we might come into the feast and we sit at the table and the table's been spread, but we have no appetite for it. We sit there, there's no appetite. You see, friends, how many times have we come into God's house and you sit there? You're cold, you're unmoved, you're not hungry, you're not thirsty, you sit there, the table is spread. Christ is set before you. The sacrificial lamb has been slain. It has been set before you, but you have no appetite. You do not feed upon Him because you have nothing. Nothing. How different it was with Elijah. He was zealous for his God. He loved Him. He served Him faithfully because God, I believe, revealed Himself to Elijah. He revealed Himself to him in the cave. The still small voice, he heard the voice. And he realized this, that there were those in Israel that had gone after idols. We might say today, there are those, sadly, have gone after idols. Idols. But it was Elijah's desire, prayerful desire, that they might be brought back, that I might turn from idols to seek the living God. Idols. How solemn. Have you brought your idols into God's house this morning? Where have your thoughts been? Where has your heart been? What has your desire been? Where have you been this morning before you came to God's house? Perhaps even while you sit here. Things pass through your mind. What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do this afternoon? Do you see? God is examining you. God is showing you. God is revealing things about you. And either you fall under it, or you reject it. Either you despise His word, or you fall under it, and you obey it. Because it's God's word. There are many that will hear this word today, God's word, and reject it. They reject it. But they still continue in a form of religion, a form of godliness. They still continue. Because they do it for this reason. This is what they do it for. Their deceitful heart tells them that as long as you've got a form of religion, you've got something. You've got something that you can hang on to. Something that you can present at the last day. But I tell you, you will prove this, that form in the last day will be like filthy rags, a profession of filthy rags, because the righteousness of Christ has not been imputed to you. Now we know it, all of us here today, we know it. You know it. You don't have to. You can, by just considering these things, you can know in your own hearts whether God has imputed that righteousness to you and you've received the forgiveness of sins. And if you haven't, if you're a true seeker of the Lord, then there'll be much prayer. There'll be many tears. There'll be much prayer at the throne of grace because you're a true seeker. Like the children of Israel that went out to seek the manna. You see, an appetite. They said to Moses, this light bread, we've had enough of it. Yes, we go out and we seek it. We do, we gather it. But it's not really what we want. We don't really want this. We don't mind the cucumbers and the melons and the garlic and the fish and the flesh. We don't mind any of that. But not this light bread. By grace you are saved. Through faith. And that means this, friends. It means this. If God has not given to us His grace, if He's not poured upon us His Spirit, you'll never hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then what are we doing here today? What are we all doing here this morning? I trust there's some, like Elijah, that are hungering and thirsting for the living God. We are journeying. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, came and touched Elijah and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And so I would say to the child of God, the one who is hungry, the one who is thirsty, the one who is weary, the one who has come to the juniper tree, the one who is cast down in his soul, the Lord knows where you are. And I trust, and I hope and pray that before the day is out, He will give you something. It may be, yes, a word of promise. It may be something, yes, that will satisfy your soul, but it will strengthen you. Elijah went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. And it's when the Lord gives His word to His people. And that's what you need, child of God, if you've come today to that juniper tree experience. You need the Lord again to speak the promise, to speak the word that He has given you. Perhaps a word that He's given you years ago, you still carry it, but it's as though it's fading. And you need Him to speak it again. You need it fresh, like the heavenly manna. You need this word to come again, that you might go in the strength of this word. And so your prayer should be, Lord, then grant me this token again of Thy special love, this word of promise again to me, that I may know and prove it is from God, that it might come with power into my soul, that I may be revived, that I may find the word of promise again and rejoice, because as I rejoice in it, it will be like meat to my soul. It will feed me. Thy word was found and I did eat them. This word that we need, the word was made flesh. And that's what we need this morning, is the word to be made flesh. Flesh for us to feed upon. The word was made flesh. And it will be made flesh to your soul today, poor sinner, because God has decreed it. This word is made flesh for you to feed upon. Christ, the eternal word. And you need that word. He spoke, Christ spoke in John, I believe, chapter 6. That except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, there is no life in you. But what is it to eat His flesh? It is this. This is the word When the word is given under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that word is made flesh to the soul, to the hungry soul. The word was made flesh. And is made flesh to you, poor sinner. And God, in his mercy, will give you that word again. He will give you that promise. He will speak again freshly the word of promise. And you will find that the word is made flesh to your soul. And it will dwell in you. The word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. Is that your desire, your prayerful desire today? To behold his glory? To know him as your Lord and your Saviour, your God, your Father, your Redeemer, your sacrifice? John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." The angel of the Lord came again the second time. You see, friends, it's going to be a second time. The child of God has had the first time. He's had the first love. He knows what it is to have the first love when Christ, as it were, courts his bride. When he draws her with the bands of love, the cords of a man, he draws the soul. There's a day of first love. They love the Saviour because he manifests his grace and his love and mercy to the soul. Yes, he fills them with his Spirit. Oh, they want nothing else but the Saviour then. They want nothing else but to follow him, to go after him, because of the drawing power of his love. So there's been a first time. But what did Christ say to the church at Ephesus? Somewhat against thee. Because thou hast left thy first love. But the angel of the Lord will come the second time. It's as though the Lord would stir you up and say, look, there'll be a second time. You've come to the juniper tree. You're cast down. You're sad. You're sorrowful. You are, as it were, at the ends of the earth. All these things are too much for you. You've got no one to turn to now, have you, but Christ Jesus. The one who will never fail you. The one who will never give you up. The one that will always hold you and support you and speak again the word of promise to your soul. Have we heard his voice? Elijah heard it. He heard it in the cave. Yes, there are some that look for great signs. Oh, they look for the earthquake. They look for the fire. But the child of God, oh, he looks for this. The voice of the Lord. That's what he looks for. That's what he wants to hear. The great shepherd of the sheep calling to this one, perhaps who's wandered. This one who's lame. This one who feels blind. This one who feels his case is a hopeless case. He wants to hear the voice of the good shepherd. Come. Come unto me. Follow me. Bring it all to me. Cast it all upon me. Rise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And so he arose and he did eat and he drank. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days. He comes to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. In the Mount it shall be seen. What? The sacrifice? In the Mount it shall be seen. Jesus in the sinner's place. In the Mount it shall be seen. The sacrificial lamb. In the Mount it shall be seen. And that's where he was being led, to the Mount, to behold the glory of God. He came to the Mount to hear the voice, the still small voice. And that still small voice still speaks today to the burdened, the downcast, the tried, the tempted, the bereaved, the lonely. And what does it speak? This is the way. Walk ye in it. The way to the kingdom. Christ has separated you. Christ has separated you to himself. He continually separates you. Oh, we read in Zechariah's prophecy, in that day when he pours upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, he separates them. Wives apart, husbands apart, families apart. He separates them and he deals with them on an individual basis. And that's what he's doing for us. The flesh dislikes the way. What does the flesh say? What does your flesh say this morning? I can't take much more of this. Poor Elijah, I can't take much more of this. I'm no better than my fathers, Lord. Take away my life. I've had enough. It's too much. It's too great for me. He says, arise and eat. You have not come to the end of the journey yet, Elijah. There's still some more steps to take. You still have some work to accomplish for me yet, Elijah. But you're in the right way. You're in the way that leads to the kingdom. You're in that way which is following my steps. But what does the tempter say? What does the enemy say? Oh, he'll say to you this, look around you. Look around you. Who's suffering like this? Who's going through what you're going through? You see, he would have you look anywhere but to Calvary. And that's where you must continue to look. You, and only you, I speak to none else this morning, but to those who have come to the juniper tree. Look to the cross of Christ. The one who bore our sins upon the accursed tree. Lose sight of Jesus and his cross, and soon we fall a prey. A prey to the devil, a prey to our lusts, a prey to our sins. Arise and eat. For the journey is too great, it's too great. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's not a way for flesh and blood. It's a way for the soul that has been quickened into life and been given the divine nature. We can put on a show. We can make believe that we're traveling in this way. But God knoweth our hearts. He knows our hearts this morning. He knows where we are this morning. He knows what we're thinking, how we've received the message, what we feel, what we do. He knows everything about us. And how many of us here today would pray that prayer, "Search me, O God." Do you want to know the truth about yourself? That's the question. Do you want God to search you? Do you want him to save you at last? Or do you think this? You can go a different way and still come to the kingdom. There's one way. And that way sometimes will lead you to the juniper tree. But it's God's way. Because it's there under the juniper tree that Elijah found food from the angel of the Lord. Arise and eat. because the journey is too great for thee. What does he say? Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He giveth more grace, but we need it. We need to seek for it. The children of Israel, they didn't sit in their tents and the manna came to them. They went out to seek it. And that is a lesson to us. We have to seek him daily. Christ is that manna. And you'll have to seek him daily. If you can go days without God, days without Christ, days without seeking him, that tells you something of where you are and what you are. Either you need him or you don't need him. Either you've fed upon him or you have never fed upon him. Either he has spoken to you or you've never heard his voice. Either he has called you or you're still dead in your trespasses and in sins. It's solemn for me to stand here and say, we are journeying. All of us. We are. There's no doubt about it. It is certain. You're journeying. And who knows when the end will be. But Christ says to his sheep, to his elect, to those he has called, to those that are following him, to those who are serving him, to those who are going through great tribulation, arise and eat. For the journey is, because the journey is too great for thee. And it is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. You see flesh and blood straight away shrinks back from this. As soon as you hear that, tribulation, distress, persecution, fiery trials, all these things. What are they done? What are they sent into our lives for? To separate us to Christ, that we may have fellowship with him in his sufferings. But we can't receive that word. You can never receive that word unless you have been born again of the Spirit. You can't receive it because there's nothing in you to receive it. Who wants tribulation? Who wants trials? Who wants temptations? Who wants persecutions? None. But the apostle wrote, I glory in distresses, in persecutions, in trials, buffetings. Why? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. And so the child of God, like Elijah, he comes to the juniper tree experience. He prays, he pours out his heart before the Lord. He confesses his sins. I'm no better than my fathers. But that day, he experiences the day of the Lord's power. The resurrection power. That's what Elijah needed. And if that's where you are this morning, that's what you need. It's the resurrection power of the risen Saviour. That I might know him, said the apostle, and the power of his resurrection. Resurrection. Death. And resurrection. Death. And resurrection. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Amen.